Heavenly Father, as we open your word, Father, we pray that your Holy Spirit would remove distractions. Lord, that you would continue to grow our faith in you through the power of your word and your Holy Spirit working faith in our hearts. Help us to tangibly experience your love and your grace today. And Lord, it's in your name we pray. Amen. So how many times have you taken a coin like this one and made a decision with a coin flip? Like maybe you're trying to decide between that fully loaded, nice truck or the Econobox that you really should drive. And so you do something like this. Lord, which car do you want me to buy? Heads, the nice truck. Tails, the Econobox. Tails, oh, the Econobox. I'm going to try again. 2 out of 3? Maybe you flipped a coin on which person should I marry, Lord? Hopefully you haven't done that one. Which job offer should I take? And maybe they haven't been real serious things. Maybe it's been something more light, not as earth-shattering decisions. Maybe like, where am I having lunch? Or who's paying for lunch? Let's flip a coin on it. You've probably made a decision or two in your life flipping a coin. And in the book of Acts, we're going to see Luke, one of Jesus' disciples and also a physician, writing about how he and the apostles have done the same thing and are doing the same thing in this text. You see, they find themselves down to 11 disciples after Judas had taken his own life. And Luke begins by telling his readers they just got back from traveling. They're now in the upper room. And everyone is listed here in verse 13. All 11 of the disciples that remain are listed. And then you have Jesus' brothers there and Mary, his mother, that are all there in the upper room. Now, something interesting here. This is the last New Testament mention of Mary, the mother of Jesus. And they are all, as we'll see, praying in the upper room, all in one accord. Isn't it interesting that Mary's praying to God and not being prayed to in this moment. And so here is also what happens in this text a little prior to where we're at. Jesus has promised the disciples that the Holy Spirit is going to come to them and that they just need to wait. They need to just be still until that happens. And then all of a sudden, Jesus ascends up into heaven, and he tells the disciples, hey, you're going to be my witnesses from Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the earth, and poof, there he's gone. And ascension in our calendar, our church calendar, happened this past week, where Jesus went up into heaven. And so now they're just in the upper room. And it says in verse 14, they were devoting themselves to prayer, all in one accord. And perhaps a better way to translate this is to say they were continuously devoting themselves to prayer. They're continuously in prayer. And so they're spending a lot of time in prayer directed to God, and they're in one accord. And the book of Acts shares this phrase, one accord, 10 times throughout the book to help express this oneness in heart and mind that the early church has. They're all going to the Lord in prayer. It's not their agendas. They're putting their own agendas to the side. They're going to the Lord in prayer. And even this text states there was about 120 of the church that was present there. And so Peter stands up to speak to the church. And you and I both know when Peter stands up to speak sometimes, this may not go real well. Like, we look at his prior history, we go, oh, no. Don't do it, Peter. Just, yeah, cierra la boca in Spanish. Shut your mouth. Like, don't do it. Don't do it. And not in this moment. He stands up and steps up in leadership of the apostles. And he says, hey, the word has to be fulfilled in regards to Judas. We know he took his own life by hanging himself. And then Peter does describe a part in this story that would not make this a bedtime story for your kids. He says he hung himself and then all his bowels gushed out. Night, night, Johnny. Like, don't share that part of the story. I mean, share this story. It's a great one with your kids when you're putting them to bed, but that would be bad. Like, share that they go to the Lord in prayer. They're having faith. They're putting their trust and hope in Jesus. But you can just leave that part out for right now. And so it's important that the number of the apostles would be 12 once again. Just like the patriarchs, like the 12 tribes in Israel. And it says very clearly in Scripture, let another take his office. So they have to replace Judas. And so they have everybody together. They're all in one accord. They're going to the Lord in prayer. You know, they could have done it a different way. They could have, you know, captured resumes, tried to find the most qualified, got on Indeed.com and just searched for somebody to be qualified. But that's not the way this was supposed to work out. Instead, they entrusted this decision to God. They wanted God to act to replace Judas. And so Peter did lay out some qualifications that this man had to have. He had to be someone who was a witness to all of the public ministry of Jesus. So in other words, he had to be present for the whole 3 years of Jesus' ministry, just like the apostles were. He had to kind of be there presently with that. And that there wouldn't probably be a whole lot of people that had done that. This man also had to be around to be a witness to the resurrection of Jesus, to his appearances when he rose, after he rose from the dead. Again, not that many people. So there were two men who were qualified for this. You had Joseph called Barsabbas, who was also called Justice. Apparently his mom couldn't figure out what to call him. They just, I'll call him this, and I'll call him this. And then you had Matthias. This is the only mention of both of these men in the New Testament. Barsabbas, probably, his name meant son of the Sabbath, probably born on the Sabbath. The names were typically very literal back then. And so the qualifications are laid out, and then what happens? Well, in verse 24 through 26, it says this, and they prayed and said, you, Lord, who know the hearts of all, show which one of these two you have chosen to take the place in this ministry and apostleship from which Judas turned aside to go to his own place. And they cast lots for them. And the lot fell on Matthias, and he was numbered with the 11 apostles. So notice what they did first. They prayed, and they just said, Lord, show us. Show us by casting lots. And so that's what they did. They cast lots. So you may be saying, okay, Pastor Danny, you're telling me that they basically flipped a coin to figure out who an apostle would be? Like, that's a pretty big decision. That's what they did? Yes. Now, does this mean the apostles made that choice? No, the entire choice was left up to the Lord. Peter, yes, had some prerequisites, but look at what happened. The disciples had been in prayer continuously, and they prayed, and they entrusted to Jesus this choice. Now, practically for us, What could this look like for our lives? I mean, should we just flip a coin on some things? Well, we'll talk about that in a little bit. But look at what happened. The lot fell to Matthias. He was added to the 11 apostles. This is really all we know about Matthias. We know that he was, tradition says he was martyred, as were all of the other apostles except John. This is really all we know, though. And then the disciples would begin, after they had their whole 12 back in place, they would begin to witness, as Jesus had commanded them to do. Now, they trusted Jesus to make this choice by casting lots. What control would they have by casting lots? I mean, perhaps how good a job they did at the coin flip, whoever was doing that. You know, you watch NFL games and they have the coin flip at the beginning, and sometimes they have to do it again because it's not a great coin flip. That's really all the control they would have in this decision. What control would you have if you were casting lots, if you were flipping a coin? I mean, you have two choices, so you have 50-50 chance, right? But you really don't have a way to control that. You don't know what decision is going to be made. That's why it's called chance. But with Jesus, it's never a chance. It's part of his divine and sovereign plan. So what's this look like for us? I mean, do we just cast lots anymore? I mean, what do we do with this? And this casting lots, it was an ancient custom. It's mentioned in the Old Testament. There was probably two stick-like markers with a name or a color on the stick, signifying that color was for either Matthias or Barsabbas. And there was probably some type of container where there was two pieces of sticks. And then what would happen is the container would be shaken real hard, and the stick that came out, that flew out of the container, that was who was chosen. And so this was an accepted Old Testament practice for determining God's will at that time. And this is the last time in the New Testament that casting lots is mentioned. So, does that mean we should just flip a coin for situations in our lives? I mean, you could. You could do that. I mean, we're given free will on a majority of the things that in life we can choose. A lot of different decisions that God gives us a brain, and he gives us free will. But you also need to be aware that we now have, unlike the apostles at that time, we have the full revelation of God's word. We've got all of God's word. We've got the Holy Spirit. Remember, the Holy Spirit had not yet come to the apostles, even right here. It was about to happen, but it hadn't yet happened. We have the Holy Spirit dwelling in our hearts as followers of Jesus. If you're a follower of Christ here today, the Holy Spirit is living inside of you. And so the Holy Spirit can guide you towards a decision, whatever it is that you're making in your life. So really, the primary mode as followers of Christ for us to make decisions are God's word, relying on the Holy Spirit through the gift of prayer that Jesus gives us, this direct communication that Jesus gives us through the gift of prayer, and just relying on the Spirit to speak to our hearts and minds. So, for example, we have a lot in our Grace family, we have a lot of people who have just graduated high school or will graduate high school, and some who have graduated college. And for those high school students, some of them may be saying, you know, I still don't know what I'm supposed to major in, or I still don't even really know what school I'm supposed to go to. And I have to make the perfect choice, because if I don't, my life's going to be ruined. It's going to ruin everything if I don't decide the perfect major or the perfect school to go to. And so I've got to make the right choice. I've got to get this right. And it is true. There is a better choice and there is a best choice for you. There will be a better fit than the other option. But even if you choose the wrong one, God's still going to work through it. He still works no matter what choice you make. So at some point, we just have to make a choice. we go to the Lord in prayer. We say, Lord, I'm struggling on figuring out what my major is or what job I need to be at or what house I need to be at. And you pray and you see it through God's word, through the Holy Spirit speaking to your heart and mind. Like, and then you make a decision based on what you feel like is best, because you can make a decision. He gives you a brain to do that. And so there's typically, unless it's against God's will, there's not a right or wrong answer. But there is maybe a best or a better. So for example, for my college experience, first of all, I majored in healthcare administration. I'm not doing that right now, am I? But God used that experience where I can use the things I learned as a pastor. Also, I went to 4 colleges in 5 years. Now, that wasn't because of like behavior issues or anything like that. That was in high school. The reason was because my grandmother got sick. She needed dialysis. I wanted to come home to help take her to that. And she ended up dying like 2 weeks before my next semester started. So it's too late to go back to the college that I wanted to be at. And so I had to kind of go to some different colleges over the next few years, partly because I didn't know what I wanted to do when I grew up. And it still didn't matter, did it? Because I still didn't do any healthcare administration for too long. But God worked it out, didn't he? If you just look at me, I mean, I think he worked it out. I mean, you may be like, man, you need to do something else other than being a pastor. But it worked out for me, I think. And so, you know, here we are. God directed my path, even though maybe I made the right decision, maybe I didn't. But he led me where I needed to go, and that's exactly what he does for all of us. Whatever decision we make, and you'd say, well, I don't want to be praying about what car I need. You know what? No thing is too big or too small. Because God cares about everything in your life. Because he cares about you. You're his child. And so don't have this arrogance or this pride about, oh, well, God's got other things to deal with. So I can't pray about my little pinky finger that's broken. I mean, that's just no big deal. There's other people that are dealing with more than me. But God cares about what you're dealing with. He loves you. He wants to know about it. So talk to him. Use that gift of prayer, that direct communication that he gives us. And so some people in this situation say, the apostles made the choice and not Jesus. But look at what Proverbs 16 says, verse 33. The lot is cast into the lap, but it's every decision is from the Lord. So God directed this whole process, just like he directs our process. He gives us free will to make some choices in life, but he guides and leads us where we need to be. So take comfort in that. Boldly choose and go from there. So Matthias being chosen, it wasn't luck. It was exactly where he was supposed to be. He was chosen as the 12th disciple, and his apostleship was just as valid as all the other disciples, even though he had been there just a short time. So what does this mean for us? Have faith. Put your faith and your hope and your trust in Christ. Entrust your past, present, and future to Jesus. Spend time in prayer. That is an amazing gift from Jesus. Direct communication between him and us. Seek what his will is. He will guide you and lead you the way he wants you to go, what is best for you. He prepares the way for us, just as he prepared our redemption and forgiveness before we were ever even created. Jesus outlined that plan of redemption and salvation. Nothing else matters more than that. If he took care of the largest issues in our lives, he can also take care of the small ones as well. So have hope that because you're a child of God and that you matter to Jesus, he will guide and lead you on the path you're meant to be on. Have faith in him. put your trust in him. Amen. Please rise.